Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
College basketball fans, the College Ball Show returns. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Marshall, will be joining me very shortly. Obviously, we got a whole lot to talk about from the last week or so in the sport of boxing. I do a boxing show as well. Almost, though. Didn't do it. In the sport of college basketball, we're gonna banter. We're going to preview next week, predict. Recap some of the marquee matchups. I mean, the last couple of weeks, especially the last 2 weeks, there has just been an abundance of ranked versus ranked, very highly important matchups that, you know, are really kind of maneuvering and positioning each team or dropping them in their conference, in their respective conferences. And, you know, last weekend didn't feature a ton of upsets by any stretch, considering, you know, how many ranked versus ranked. But it was more like midweek. That's when it all started. I think San Diego State last night was the biggest upset, beating Nevada. But, you know, a variety of stuff we'll discuss. We're not going to go back too far, but we are going to talk about the last couple of weeks. Obviously, you know, my co-host is a big North Carolina fan. He's got to be really, really happy with the way they played, regardless of Zion's injury. Obviously, that played a part in it, a major part. But we'll get into that. So we'll definitely talk about that. Well, you know, we've been talking about how Kentucky has been peaking, and they looked phenomenal, right? So there's a variety of things that we'll kind of discuss. Kind of catch up from the last chunk of days of college basketball, but then we got to look ahead. The marquee matchups are in the Big Ten, in the Big East. Also, I mean, there's a variety of matchups you can't sleep on. And some of them are ranked versus ranked, and they're going to get slept on in the Big 12, in the ACC, in the SEC. Tennessee and LSU actually play. Michigan and Michigan State, Kansas and Kansas State. As we check in on our every show, we kind of check in on a variety of conferences, but we always talk about the Big 12 and just hope and pray to the basketball gods that this is the year finally someone knocks off Kansas. Right, you know, the Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Get them out of there. It's been too many years in a row, 14 years in a row, going on 15, and it is a tight race, man. It is a tight-ass race. So North Carolina plays Florida State. Marquette and Villanova meet for what probably is going to figure out who's going to win a down Big East this year. So there is a variety of things we're going to discuss. We're going to preview some of these games I just mentioned and predict them and, you know, just kind of make our way through the schedule. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. But before I do that, I kind of fooled you there, Marshall. I fooled myself. I didn't mean to do that. But before I do that, I do want to tell you about a variety of things. First of all, if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, this College Ball Show, we call it the College Ball Show because it's football and basketball. Obviously, we're neck deep into college basketball. We're bearing down on March Madness. The end of February is nearing, which has been really rough winter-wise here with snow, not so much temperature, but snow. But anyway, we start with college football late August. We go all the way to the national championship. Mid-January, so about a month and change ago, we went to, we called it college ball, right? So we went to college basketball. We're going to take this all the way through March Madness to the Final Four of the national championship game. And then we figure, since you're paying attention to college basketball or you have some sort of care for it, you know, there's odds are you're going to be paying attention somewhat at some point to the NBA playoffs. So we do, just to let you guys know, in April, once this, you know, the season's over for college basketball, then we do this thing called the NBA banter. It's all playoffs. It's about every, probably every week to 10 days, somewhere in there. Kind of matters how the series go, but we're going to take that all the way through April, May, June for the finals. And then our last two shows of the year is usually the draft and then free agency, okay? And a little later in the show, I'm going to let you know about this deal right now going on for DirecTV Now. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, getting rid of your cable, getting rid of your satellite, I got something for you. Okay, if you already have and you don't like some of these, you know, variety of these companies out there right now, maybe you're not happy with it. Maybe you're not happy with, well, you're probably happy with the price because anything's cheaper than normal cable. But DirecTV Now is, it just launched not long ago, and I can speak from experience. This is a, this may be an ad, but it's real life. I actually cut the cord in August this summer, and for about 5-6 weeks, I tried YouTube cable, I tried Hulu Plus, I tried a variety of them, Sling as well, and then I tried DirecTV Now. They have a 7-day free trial, and it's pretty damn solid, man. You know, you have packages that range from $40 up to $75. I'll give you a little bit more detail later in the show, but DirecTV Now is the way to go. The technology has to improve. That's for the whole industry. I've had it for about 7 months. I've noticed it's gotten better. DirecTV Now, you know, I used to do the satellite for a decade. I had DirecTV. And like I said, in August, I just cut the cord. There's a 7-day free trial. I'll let you a little bit, I'll let you know a little bit more detail on the packages. And also, it's not just DirecTV Now, although there is a great deal there. It's also AT&T. So AT&T customers, hang around. I'm an AT&T customer for a long-ass time, probably longer than I'd want to admit. Since my second cell phone, I've been, I won't say the year, but my second cell phone, I've been an AT&T customer. And this deal kind of blends itself into the DirecTV Now streaming package. And so it's kind of like there's a deal where it holds the price for a length of time. We'll get into that in just a minute. I'm going to shut up momentarily anyway, because nobody can shut me up, although I'll shut up. Anyway, what's going on, Marshall? How you doing, buddy? Kind of long-winded intro, but you know you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. Just basketball coaching is over. Now I moved on to softball. That's caused me to miss a little bit of the past couple of shows. The basketball season, you know, I kind of talked about throughout the year. We finished in a tie for the fourth spot in our district, and the top four spots make playoffs out of seven. And we had a kind of a play-in game, and we lost by 2 points. Our girls put up three shots in the last 10 seconds, and none of them could drop in. So it was a tough way to finish the season, but no one had our team making the playoffs. So it's kind of a fun season to enjoy as a coach. And a lot of the teachers in the school were pretty shocked to make it as far as we did. So it was nice and rewarding. And now it's on to a softball journey, kind of the same deal, like trying to rebuild stuff. So besides that,
that's,
man,
pretty dope, Marshall. That's pretty cool, man.
No,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. Like last year, the girls won 2 games. This year, we won 8. And last year, they finished last in the division. This year, they got 4th. You know, so it was a ton of fun. And it's cool, you know, being my first year there, my head coach, it was her third year. You know, for her, for sure, it was an accumulation of work she's done. I kind of got to enjoy it here a little bit past the hard work. But, you know, to see kids who didn't expect to make the playoffs make it, you know, it was a good step in the right direction, I guess you could say. So that was very rewarding. So the only bad part is now is we finished playing our best basketball of the year. Now it's a grind until, you know, you start up again. So it kind of sucked to finish playing really hot and then have to take like 9 months off. But, you know, what do you do? But besides that, you know, obviously as a basketball coach and a fan and lover of a certain team, my baby blue, man, that was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I know.
And you're talking about the injury too, aren't you? You're talking about the injury. That was a beautiful thing. That's what you're talking about, you bastard. I'm just kidding. Yeah, before we even got here to this game, you big up. You didn't like it, but you respected and gave him his respect prior to any kind of matchup, and I respect that.
Yeah, and I think that, honestly, the Vegas did too. I mean, this is a matchup where – I've known you for, about 13, 14 years now, and I was watching Carolina Duke about 10 years before that. So, I mean, I've been watching this rivalry for probably, I don't know, close to 20 years of my life. I don't recall ever seeing a 9-point spread. I mean, when I saw the line.
And it was up over 10 for a while, wasn't it? Wasn't it up over 10 for a little bit?
I think it closed 9.5. It's like, you know, that alone shows that, dude, this Zion guy is sick. There's been great teams that you and I have broken down and watched together or in person or whatever that have never had that big of a spread. And to see it 9 points, I was like, holy shit, like, seriously, Vegas? Like, I know that Duke's good this year, but, man, this is a spread that we don't see in this rivalry. And a rivalry where in the past 104 matchups, they were 52-52, and the total points scored was a 3-point difference. It was in like 3,500s. I mean, so this is a matchup that's always been special. And then to see, you know, the game start off, and it's like to see a play where I don't think many people have ever actually seen. You know, you always have those rare moments in sports where you're like, dude, I never thought I'd see this play, but it just happened. And normally that's a football kind of thing, occasionally baseball. Normally basketball doesn't get the, dude, have we ever seen this happen? But last night you saw guys like shoot break. And thankfully he didn't get a serious injury. But 33 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson is driving – And he goes into the lane and tries to kind of plant his foot and cut or put up a jump shot. He was making some type of motion, and his foot slides through his shoe, and he rolls his knee, and he sprains knees after the game. And it was like, holy shit. And the first announcers were like, his shoe came apart. It's like, how?
Yeah, blew up.
I mean, I know the dude's built like a machine.
There's actually an investigation on it. There's actually an investigation. Nike's doing an investigation on that just to make sure some North Carolina fan didn't get a hold of that shoe before. You know what I'm saying? You know that'll happen.
I guess you can maybe unscrew the threads a little bit. I'm not even sure how you put – I mean, so
– Yeah.
I mean, from that point on, I mean, Carolina – and to give Carolina credit, which, I mean, who knows if they win or lose – but the way they played in that first half, it was old school Carolina against old school Duke. And by old school Carolina, I mean the team I've loved my whole life is have point guards that rush down the court and feed your bigs down low and just do that on repeat. I mean, there's been moments in games
that
they Carolina played this
game.
Year. Oh, 30-15. It was freaking beautiful.
Yeah.
But there's been games this year where I've seen Carolina resort to a 3-point shooting team. And that's never been Roy's deal. I mean, when we won the title in 15, the year before, we were like the one of the worst 10 3-point shooting teams in the whole country, and that's out of like 300 teams. I mean, we're not a 3-point shooting team. But last night it was rush, feed the bigs down low, and Duke didn't have an answer for them. Now, obviously, to give Duke a break, you know, when Zion Williamson goes out with, you know, less than a minute of the game, I mean, that's going to kind of be a blow to your chances. I get that. But in the same retrospect,
yeah, mentally, it's kind of shocking, you know. It's like, it's kind of like, what the hell? What? He might be done for the season because, you know, when people have that little limp in them, I think it messed with them. Although they had a chance to cut it to a one-possession game late in the first, and I thought North Carolina did a great job of putting it back to 10 or 12, whatever it was at halftime. I thought that was a crucial moment there.
Oh, yeah, you're 100% right. Cause, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a four-point game, and I remember Billis saying the exact same thing we just said was, well, you know, if Duke can cut down to two here, that'd be a hell of a way to go in the half. And then Carolina went on a quick 6-0 run, and, you know, from the second half, I mean, the second half, Carolina comes out, I believe they go on a 12-0 run. It was a wrap. I mean, Carolina played with the momentum. They knew they had it. Duke, again, when I mentioned revolved to their old self was jack up threes like it's going out of style, but they would hit them. The Duke last night needed a J.J. Redick or a Kyle Singler, who his only job was to spot up and hit threes that I still have nightmares of as a Carolina fan.
Yeah.
But I mean, they don't have that shooter this year. Duke has a bunch of one-and-done prospects who can drive, who apparently last night didn't feel like driving. Just, I'm not going to say Carolina's defense is elite. But, I mean, it was – I mean, Carolina literally didn't have to play much defense because when Duke had the ball, Carolina would close out and you'd see a three get chucked up. And they weren't making them, so why would you want to foul a team that can't make the threes? I mean, it was like a J.J. Redick offense without Redick. And it was like, well, hell. I mean, I know, again, Zion's out, but I've seen Jones and Reddish and Barrett. Like, I've seen those guys operate offensively. And my only kind of shot at Duke a little bit is okay, Zion's out. But you've been hearing people say that they have three guys who could be top 10 draft picks. And I know that those guys put up a lot of points last night, but, I mean, if these guys are these truly elite, talented, incredible lottery picks, they should have made that game better last night. Or maybe we need to calm down a little bit with the praise. But you can't have it both ways where you keep hearing, well, you know, I'm not sure who's going to be the first overall pick. Maybe it's going to be Barrett, maybe it's Zion. Who knows? It's like, well, if that's the case last night, and I know those guys combined dropped 60, so I'm not saying that they don't have the talent.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
27 points in a 40-minute game is pretty good. It was really anybody else. The next time, they had two other guys. Well, you can't say Zion had 0 points because, you know, that was to be.
Well,
but
yeah.
Bolden had 0 points. One of 11 for Trey Jones. They got 6 points off the bench. They got 9 points off the bench, period. And I think defensively, just to jump in here, you could really
sure. –
we could talk about Zion in a variety of ways, but defensively and what he brings all-purpose as a player, when you look at his numbers offensively and defensively, it's one thing to shoot 70%, you know. That's crazy. We don't see that. But it's because of the team around him, too. He's allowed to get easy buckets. But what he does, he does pass the shit out of the ball. He rebounds well. And we don't even have to talk about block shots. We've seen a block shot that you rarely see ever in humankind this year already against Virginia. And that's where I think they missed him. Not only mentally were they like, oh, shit, kind of thinking in the back of the head, is he done for the season? And also, when you game plan stuff and you work on stuff, I think not having the other, you know, you obviously game planned a certain way. And although you're right, you do have to do certain things. Well, that seemed like what they wanted to try to do when the shots just weren't falling. Because you're right. It was like the NBA and the Houston Rockets and Golden State. They took 39 of them. And 39 in the NBA nowadays really isn't that many. It's not as crazy as you think in the NBA, but it's still crazy you know, when it comes to the college ranks. So I think it was a variety of, we really saw Zion's worth, especially defensively. And like you said, those bigs, I don't think, unless he gets in foul problems, I don't think May goes off like that. There was somebody else, a big man. Wasn't it Johnson or who's the other guy? He had a big game too. He had like 20 something.
Cam Johnson. That dude was
Cam
he Johnson. Was smooth last night. That guy, he was on fire. That was a beautiful game for him to play. And that is the team to kind of wrap up my Carolina love, because we do have a lot else to talk about. But him and May just had a nice flow to themselves. And there was a lot of times where Barrett and Reddish and Zion, the guys who are the Duke's guards. I mean, there was numerous times last night when the Carolina's bigs were just not being guarded. And that doesn't matter who's on the court. But, I mean, to get consistent, you know, free layups or a wide open dunks. I mean, part of that's like, you know, Duke does need some help with, I mean, besides their guards, you know, but it was, as a Carolina fan, it was beautiful. I mean, that's the last time we've, you know, beat them by that margin in Duke. It's normally always a close competitive game.
Yeah.
So it was crazy to see the 9-point spread, which is insane. And then you have a complete freakish accident. I mean, I'm still happy.
It's getting investigated, buddy. It's getting in bed. Don't call it an accident yet, okay? Of course, they won't do anything, because even when they get caught with the cookie in the hand, they got the hand in the cookie jar, and they still won't get in trouble. So it really doesn't matter. They might as well stop the investigation, because we know they're not going to do anything to North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan went there. Did
so,
you know that? Michael Jordan went there.
So a great win for my Tar Heels. That puts us back and tied for first in the ACC with Virginia and Duke. I did know it kind of got to be a little bit of a sneaker war on Twitter last night. I know Puma tweeted like, well, that would happen if you were in our shoes. And I know they had to like take that tweet back, and Nike was kind of wondering, Paul George's shoes who he was wearing was like, Nike, what's going on? Like, and I didn't know
on
ESPN the show tonight. He has the most highly purchased shoes in the NBA as a player. And that blew my mind in general. I mean, he's not the most popular. I mean, he's obviously, I own his first pair. I mean, not that I'm a huge shoe collector. That's my only NBA shoes I got. But
right.
I mean, he's a well-known guy, must have good shoes. But, I mean, that's kind of a little bit of a knock on his, you know, design. And, you know, there is kind of a black market's an extreme word to use, but there is kind of a whole different lifestyle of shoe culture in the NBA, like those guys like Harden and LeBron, how much they do make is crazy. You know, something's going to have to get figured out, because, again, we've never seen that happen. So hopefully, I don't know, maybe Zion is just like the – has like
just
a robotic
body. That's all
it is. Yeah.
You did see him trying to – did you see that still photo of him trying to grab the ball away from that dude? You know what I'm talking about at all? I'll send it to you.
I'm not sure.
So Zion, he's trying to rip the ball away from somebody, right, out of their hands. And he's literally indenting the ball. Like, you can see his handprint is going into the ball as he's ripping it. Like, that's how strong Zion is. You know, when you get a regulation ball, those balls are hard. They're full of air, obviously, right? And that leather's hard. It's hard to push into those. Like, you go to college football or even high school football, those balls are hard to do that to. You can't just press in. There's a point where he's so damn strong that he's literally indenting the ball trying to rip it away from dude. So I think it was just the shoe can't contain how strong he is. That's what I think happened.
Well, hey, and before we
good
do
thing
get
he's
into
not hurt.
Games,
the good thing
yeah,
he's not
yeah,
hurt.
That, and that is
know?
That is good. I know that some people are like, dude, maybe just take it easy. Don't play for the rest of the year. You want to look at your future. I know Boogie Cousins said, don't waste time on that bullshit. You know, enjoy your NBA career. Which, hey, I mean,
let's
you know, fair is fair. We now got guys in college football who skip bowl games. You know, it would be a detrimental blow to college basketball if he decided to skip out the rest of his year. Now, for his career, you know, who knows? But for kind of a scary news story, which normally never have in college basketball, Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim, when he was driving home from his game last night, for as we know of now, basically accidentally ran over a pedestrian and killed a man last night. The details are still being discussed. I know the road conditions are still kind of up in the air, but an unfortunate traffic incident. I know they said Boeheim's been complying with the police, trying to get resolved. I know a car been pulled over to the side of the road. Not quite sure what happened. Unfortunately, there's an accident. I'm sure that, you know, maybe, I guess I don't want to speculate, but nonetheless, an accident occurred, and it's going to be dealt with and filed. Hopefully, it was a complete freakish accident. Obviously, you never want anyone to lose a life like that, but I'm sure that's something we'll continue to kind of, we'll get more details on, but something obviously completely sad to hear. Obviously, he didn't try to run away from it or hide the situation. Hopefully, everything can get figured out, but that's college basketball news you'll see that pertains to life off the court, and hopefully that gets resolved about as good as it can, and obviously condolences to the person that passed away, and hopefully they haven't been nothing at fault. But my buddy sent me that text this morning. I was kind of like, you know, I know what that you wouldn't hear a story about that that's a spoof, but it's kind of like one of those stories I had to read twice. I'm like, am I reading this right? Is that serious? Like, wow, that's okay. I hope everything's okay. Like, that's just kind of a goofy story, but one that has to be dealt with just due to the circumstances of it. So hopefully, I guess that's resolved as peacefully as it can be, Chris. I guess, Alan, maybe that's the best way to say it, but an unfortunate turmoil game last night.
Yeah, we'll let the due course, you know, take its time. We're not going to go too deep on that because we really don't know exactly what happened. Even if you read the details, you don't really know until you know. But anyway, just kind of winding back the last chunk of days in college basketball on Tuesday night, Maryland. You know, Maryland started hot. I think they got to 6 or 7-1. Then they faltered a little bit. Kind of looked like they're going to come all the way back to the pack. Now they've, you know, gone up a little bit. Got a nice win, 66-65 at Iowa, who had done the same thing, who had started well, kind of fell back, making their way up. Tough place to play on the road normally. Really come out of, I'm not going to say nowhere, but the way they started, I'm really surprised that they're where they are. And Baylor got a big win on the road once again, 73-69. That was on Tuesday. Those two games really stood out for me on those nights. Monday night, big Monday, Virginia beat Virginia Tech 64-58. So Virginia, I think, has one more game in that stretch of five games where they played, at least when we looked at it a couple weeks ago, they were all ranked teams, or four out of five all ranked teams. So, you know, Virginia got a big win, you know, with the North Carolina win, and they played Duke pretty damn strong. They just, you know, didn't end up getting the W, but I thought that kind of stood out. St. John's, who almost beat Villanova the first time around, ended up beating Villanova 71-65. Nova coming off that loss to Marquette. So that evened things out in the division. And now that probably will, that game coming up, Villanova, that will decide the Big East. It's been a two-team race the whole time. And that's what, you know, that's what it is still to this day. LSU barely stuck by Georgia, 83-79. We're now on Saturday. We're just going to stay here for just a moment. We will be previewing games, Virginia, Louisville, Tennessee, LSU, Michigan, Michigan State, so many other games that we'll talk about as well. I thought Iowa State, of course, they just lost. I mentioned that, but they got a big win at Kansas State. Kansas State has actually been dealing with some minor injuries, trying to hold on to that Big 12 lead that they've had for a little while now, actually. It's been pretty impressive, actually. And then also, Michigan beat Maryland at home, 65-52. Duke just demolished NC State. But the big one from that day, Kentucky, Tennessee. Number one, Tennessee, which they're not number one anymore, as we know. But they had, what, a 19-game winning streak, something like that. And that all changed because you had Kentucky, who was up 37-31. Tennessee lingered for a chunk of minutes. And then, you know, Kentucky really put it on them after that. They didn't get much off the bench. But they got they shot the ball extremely well, almost 55%. Only hit five threes, but only took 13. Of course, Washington, a guy we've been talking about for quite some time, had another stellar game. The guy's really economical. 12 shots, 23 points. Kentucky just rolled away with this one, and their defense was on another level. We've talked about this team, how right about now, the teams that they're normally getting, kind of like the Duke, what Duke's been getting lately and a couple other teams, the one-and-dones, usually right about now is when they're starting to show signs of, hey, this team might be good in March. But Kentucky is just on a roll right now. And they handled Tennessee, man. They handled them.
Yeah, that was an impressive win. I know on the last show I picked Tennessee to win. I know you said I was a little bit crazy because Kentucky had lost that heartbreaker at home to LSU on that questionable non-offensive goaltending call. So I was definitely wrong with my pick. I wouldn't say that takes away much love I've had for Tennessee. I mean, to go to Kentucky and lose a game with Kentucky coming off the loss, it's not something that questions the credibility of Tennessee being a top four team. But I do think that does add to Kentucky's resume. I mean, they've now beat Tennessee. They've now beat Kansas. They haven't gone through that 3-4 game losing streak, which they normally do. This Kentucky team is damn scary, Chris. I mean, we're so used to the time of the year in the show where they lose 3 or 4 in a row, and I go on the podcast and say, hey, dude, they're going to make a Final Four run, and you're like, Marshall, you're insane, you're stupid, we do this shit every year, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right. Rewrite history, why don't you? Why don't you rewrite history? You're the one who was shitting on them, and I say, just wait till March.
We didn't get to do that part this year because they've not had their slump. And we know Calipari's a hell of a coach. I mean, I know there's some people that say, oh, how great is he if he can't win titles? Well, shit, I mean, besides Roy Williams, I mean, my guy, I'm not sure there's many people I'd put above him. Maybe, I guess, Jay Wright. I mean, depends how technical you want to get here. But the dude's a hell of a coach. And maybe this year, since he has less of a younger team, he's skipping some growing pains. I would not want to face Kentucky because – They always get nice treatment from the NCAA. They maybe don't get Duke love come March, but they get a lot of love. They travel
just like North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, they always send us out west. They're those bastards.
Yeah, because you guys don't play defense. That's why. Got to win your conference. And
Kentucky, they travel better than anyone in the country. I mean, this team is scary. They're only kind of scary this year. They're already scary, and we're still in February. So, hell, look out for Kentucky. They got Auburn coming up this weekend. Auburn shouldn't scare them too much. I expect them to win another game. But, yeah, this Kentucky team, man, dude, just you best pray they don't throw them in your division this year because it is going to be a hell of a game to try and knock these boys out. Just say they're skipping negative parts. They normally don't skip, Chris. And that is a very scary thing for a team that, you know, is realistically, their fan base is probably dying for another damn title. That year when they had their magical team and Wisconsin beat them, that was their year. I mean, this team is, you know, realistically probably due for another cut down the net ceremony. And this may be the squad that gets it done.
And you know what? I wonder if Calipari rethinks the process after this year too if they were to win. You know, I wonder if he does that and says, you know what, why don't I get a transfer, why don't I, you know what I mean? Why don't I only get two of these guys and then go get a guy that is going to do all the dirty work? Or, you know, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, when they had all those one-and-dones that year, as we know, one of the best players in the league was fifth on the team in scoring. And remember when Davis came in the league, nobody talked about how he'd have offensive skills. They were just like, oh, he's raw. He's pretty much garbage on offense, but he's a hell of a defender, you know. And it's funny that people even thought that he was garbage on offense, because this guy is everything. You know what I mean? He is the most all-around player out there almost, you know, for a center anyway, you know. But anyway.
Yes.
But you're right about Tennessee as far as you don't want to just throw them out. You know, you don't want to do that. It's one game. They're going to have a rematch. They may even have a trilogy before we even get to the big dance. And coming up this Saturday, a variety of important games and just a lot of games with a lot of stake still there. Virginia against Louisville could be tricky, although Louisville has just hit a snare in their season. They've been running on empty right now, and they will not be unless they beat Virginia. They're 18 right now. If they don't beat Virginia, they're not going to be ranked at the end of the, you know, come Monday, in my opinion, just because they've been struggling. They've been struggling. However, we've seen that a million times over the years. Oh, team struggling. Oh, they got a big win, and now they turn it around or whatever. But Tennessee, I mentioned Tennessee, they got to go to LSU. And as we know, Tennessee, Kentucky, LSU, they've been all kind of mixed in a pot at that top. Tennessee obviously had the lead because they hadn't lost in conference. But right then and there, to go get a win on the road at Tennessee would be, you know, crucial. And then also LSU, obviously, you know, for them to be able to beat Kentucky and Tennessee, they would be in the driver's seat. So those are a couple of, you know, very important game. Florida State has been playing better, too. In fact, going into that game, go on the road to North Carolina, number 16 FSU, number 8 North Carolina, 21-5, both of them. That's going to be on primetime CBS during the late afternoon for those who want to watch that one. Texas Tech has kind of revived their season. We're going to find out if they can, you know, like score on offense, because they need to do that. Although Kansas lost that Vic too. I don't think he's back yet, but they've been playing better in general. They have to go on the road. Kansas does, number 12, 20-6 overall to number 14, Texas Tech. So I'm really looking at that matchup to be like, all right, Texas Tech, are you for real? Because at the beginning of January, you really seem like, you know, the real deal. Before we get into Sunday and a couple of games through next week, let's break down some of these games, man. And obviously, let's start with Tennessee and LSU, and then you can, you know, you can talk that through. But also, we'll talk about Florida State and North Carolina, since obviously, you know, that obviously is your squad. This is a big game here. Like I said, I mean, you know, I believe Tennessee didn't necessarily play up to their ability, but against Kentucky, and obviously LSU got that controversial little tip in. So, I mean, this could be a big moment for somebody, because to rebound real quickly and get a solid win on the road for Tennessee, that would definitely be big. So how do you see this one playing out? Obviously, you'd assume it's going to be an up and down pace, the way some of the, especially Tennessee plays, but both of them really.
Yeah, I'm a little scared, because the one takeaway I kind of have when I've seen Tennessee play is their low post D. It seems like their bigs down low don't do too well. And I thought the biggest takeaway I saw from Kentucky LSU was that LSU killed Kentucky on the boards in the second half. So of the sample sizes I've seen of both teams, that appears to be a massive weakness if they play out to that game, where LSU's guys are going to crash the board and Tennessee's guys aren't that good at stopping that. So from an LSU offensive standpoint, I'd be a little bit scared. From a Tennessee offensive standpoint, though, I would expect to be a high-scoring game because Tennessee's offense is pretty damn smooth. Tennessee's got three or four guys that can beat you off the dribble or can score, can be quick. So I'd expect a high-scoring game. I think Tennessee bounces back, but I guess my main focus will be, am I on something or am I kind of crazy? Will LSU kill the boards against Tennessee and be Kentucky like they did, or will Tennessee's offense just be too much for LSU to handle? I don't know. Tennessee, they got a quick point guard just like Carolina. I believe last name's like Bone or something. And they got Admiral, they got Schofield, and they got Williams. They got to commit 23 out of 23 free throws. So offensively, Tennessee's loaded. They're not lacking points there, but I would like to see them maybe make a step in the right direction defensively. And, you know, a month ago, Chris, we were talking about LSU. Are they the legit third team in the conference? And, you know, are they for real? And since then, they've been proven they're pretty damn legit. They beat Kentucky. They were down 14 points to Mizzou at Mizzou with 2.5 minutes to go and won the game in overtime. I mean, if we're looking to see, is this team legit? Erasing a 14-point lead in 2.5 minutes and beating Kentucky, there's not many more boxes you got to jump over, you know, to prove that you're a contender. So I think that the conversation then being the third best is pretty damn clear now. I'm sure Tennessee realizes that. I'll take Tennessee for the win, but that should be a very fun game to watch, man. I'll take Tennessee in a close one. But if they don't fix their boards, LSU's going to beat them like they did Kentucky.
I'm all over the place on that one, man. I'm thinking, man, Tennessee's going to bounce back. Everything's good. But, man, really watching LSU a couple of times now, I don't know, man. It's going to be a great game. I do think maybe Tennessee will bounce back and have that urgency. And you never know. If they did lose this, you never know what that means. Will it mentally mess with them for the rest of the season? Or, you know, to lose these key games, that could kind of re-energize them. Sometimes when you go on these long stretches, you'll lose, you know, two out of three or something like that, and it's kind of like you got to find your way back. And by the way, just to clean up that Zion Williamson injury, he had a grade one knee sprain, a right knee sprain, and he is he's progressing, and he's day-to-day. So he might be back even before – you know, we know it. What do you think about Florida State against your squad, North Kakalaka? Obviously coming off that big win, you know, we see this in the pros in a variety of sports, but in college especially, it's something that we talk about, you know, that either looking ahead, getting caught looking ahead, or, you know, being kind of happy and fat and full, and all of a sudden, uh-oh, what the hell did we just do? We just got beat after coming off such a great performance. Could they be kind of reading their own press clippings, or maybe in the back of their head, they're like, now we got to keep it going? Because if you look at how the schedule plays out and where they're at the conference, obviously they still need this one. But Florida State seems like they're on kind of a little run here.
The two teams that we always have issues with is – Louisville, who they kicked our ass, we kicked their ass, we're even, and Florida State. It is never, ever, ever easy when we play them. I mean, even the years we won the title, I know back to the day when Lawson won it in 09, they destroyed us that year. Florida State always kills us or makes it incredibly tough because they always have super athletic bigs, and they slow the game down. It's never easy to play. I'm always nervous when we play Florida State because they make it hard for us to run. They have the guys that can just kind of make it half court. Leonard Hamilton's been there forever. That dude's one of the best coaches all around that normally doesn't get enough credit, you know, because they don't get the Duke Carolina kids. But, damn, that guy's always got a team in the spot. So I mean, if we play like we did against Duke, I'd like our chances. I mean, again, it's one of the first times all year we've ran up and down the court like we know how to. Fairness, that was against a Duke team who was kind of all in a mess that night. So I will take Carolina. I hope that Kobe White, our stud freshman point guard, kind of shakes off the rust. I think he was maybe a little nervous as hell last night because he's a dude that's been scoring 30 effortlessly in a lot of games this year and been looking like a hell of a basketball player. Last night, he had glimpses of, you know, what's going on here, kind of being nervous. And in fairness, first time he's ever played at Duke, I mean, it's a rivalry game. I get it. But if you are going to be a point guard to lead our team, you can have one bad game against your rival for the first time ever, but then you have to bounce back with a good one in return, you know, because Luke May and Cam Johnson are going to win us games. We still need Nasir Little and Kobe White to step up and help. So I think if Luke May and Cam Johnson build off it, which we'll need because, like I said, Florida State's always got bigs, and they get support from Little and Kobe, we'll be okay. So I like the momentum. From what I recall, Northern Carolina doesn't have the fall-apart game after we beat Duke. I mean, I know that's a cliche, but it's not what I honestly recall. I will say, Chris, this is kind of weird. And I knew when I saw the schedule, it felt kind of strange. That's the latest we've ever played them for the first time in a year. Because we played them again in just over 2 weeks, two and a half. So I'm not quite sure. Normally it's like a game like on February 4th. And then, like, March 6th. So this year was, like, the 20th. And then we played the end of the night. So I'm not quite sure why it was so late. But normally it doesn't seem to be a trickle-down effect of big beating Duke or losing to Duke that affects us from this point on. But it is tough to go from Duke and, in my opinion, a team that we always struggle with in Florida State who's, again, looking to, you know, build up the streak they're on. So I like my boys, but, shit, it's never an easy game. I'll never say a Florida State for us is an easy win because – again, for my 20 years as a Heels fan, there's very, very few times we've ever handled them easily. And I can't recall many of them, man.
Yeah, they're 7 in a row now, and they generally have bigs. If you look at the last, they generally can handle down low pretty well. So you're right. The shooters, especially, does have to have a bounce back game. He was like 1 of 11 or something like that. I doubt that will happen again this year. But, that's a good call. So one more game I want to talk about from Saturday. Then we're going to break down some, you know, the Sunday matchup and a couple other matchups and whatnot, kind of go through the college, you know, all the conferences, the college conferences. What the hell am I talking about? It's called the college ball show, for Christ's sake. And by the way, if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live and archives here. It's basically the headquarters. However, if you want to listen to the College Ball Show in other places, it's under the Ropeadope Radio podcast umbrella. You can check it out on iTunes. Player FM is a great source. We get a lot of listens from there. Spreaker, Stitcher. Tune in is another place. But also we're part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. And you can subscribe to the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network all over the place. iTunes, I just mentioned. They got a really good app on Spreaker. But also you can check it out on iHeartRadio and Spotify. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. And real quick, just to fill you in on that deal I was talking about for DirecTV now is the way to go. Okay. You can get a package that starts as low as $40, 65 live channels, $55, 85 live channels, 105. It goes for $65, $75 a month. You get 125 live channels. There's even a Spanish package as well. That's at $45 a month. So it's a great deal, like I mentioned, on DirecTV or DirecTV Now, the streaming service. But if you're an AT&T customer like me, since my second cell phone, you can actually stick to those prices for 2 years. You know, obviously everything that you pay for, inflation goes up. Inflation goes up for everything except our wages, right? So yeah, AT&T, the combination of DirecTV Now and AT&T, you can lock those inexpensive prices in. So that's huge. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. Texas Tech, who, like I said, when I was looking at them in the non-conference, I remember a game against Kansas State. I remember even watching them against Duke. I thought, hey, this can be a pretty good club. When Nebraska was a little bit more of a team, they had some injuries, their best players out. They just kind of destroyed them. I was impressed with the team. I really was at the beginning of January. And then by the midway point, they lost three in a row. And it was like, all right, dude, what's going on? The last they lost to, they haven't lost since they lost to Kansas on the road. Kansas now lost Vic Chu for a while, that guard, even though they've been playing a little better, like I mentioned. I do believe coming off that performance against an improved Baylor team where they just smoked them 86-61, I think they're going to protect home court, Marshall. Texas Tech against Kansas. How do you see that one playing out? And I think I said Texas A&M. I didn't mean to say that. I don't remember if I said that, but forget I said that. It's Texas Tech.
I hope that Kansas's road will continue. Kansas has been a great home team this year, but they're road record's been pitiful, and that's why they are where they are, competing for the Big 12 title with like three or four other teams. So I'm hoping that, I believe at one point they were 1-6 in true road games. I'm hoping that streak continues. Obviously, if you're Texas Tech, you'll be up for this game. You're still looking for a couple of good, like, kind of wins put on the resume. I know they've been ranked respectably this year, but we really haven't talked about them much of winning big games. Like, they've had a good ranking, but there's not been like, oh, wow, Texas Tech beat so-and-so. You know, they played Duke tight earlier this year, but in the last 5 minutes of the game, they got outscored like 14-2. And they had issues, you know, with other top-notch teams, with Iowa State. You know, they don't seem to have a lot of great, great wins, besides maybe the early start of the year. So I think if you're Texas Tech, again, the main issue, as we've said, is just offense. They have a good coach. They have good defense. I mean, they don't have any awful, awful, awful losses, but they don't have a great win. And it comes from the play, Chris, where when the game's clutch, who the hell is going to score for you? Or who is your go-to guy? And not to keep going back to the Duke game, but when it was that Duke game against them, with the game on the line, there was no one ready to take a final shot. It was, okay, guys, who can turn to? You know, and not that that's an easy issue to have, Chris, because that's an issue a lot of teams have. High school, college, pro, shit, the NBA, the Timberwolves have that issue. It seems like sometimes it's like, okay, guys, you know, who's taking the last shot? And you know, so, I mean, this issue goes on for anyone. But if you don't have
why
a guy
that's going to
make a bucket,
what they
because
do you,
my
Marshall?
Buddy's always because my buddies always rant about why Carl Anthony Towns never gets the last shot when he should. That was not a shot at you. That was a memory recognition issue. So I apologize for the shot here, boys.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm willing to accept that. I won't appeal that. I won't appeal. I'll let you have that one.
All right. So you know, that's an identity that some teams have and some teams got to work out. So now, again, for our petition and hope for Kansas will win the Big 12, this would be another step in the right direction. Because right now, K-State's got a chance. Baylor's got a chance. Iowa State's hanging in there. If Kansas loses this one, you know, it'd be a huge bonus. And we want someone else to win the damn thing. So, if anything, go Texas Tech just to keep Kansas away from, you know, getting another damn Big 12 title.
Exactly. And we're just trying to help you out, Big 12 fans. Now, Kansas fans, you know, you guys have been good for so long. I don't really feel bad thinking this, okay? We're not haters, but 14 years in a row, don't you just need someone else to win so you could say, hey, we played a pretty damn good conference. I mean, it's actually going to help you in the long run, Kansas fans. Just give up 1 year. Is that so hard? No, it is actually hard. We've been trying the last, you know, chunk of years. We've been praying and praying. And like I said, I actually don't mind KU. I like a lot of their teams. I watch a lot of their games. I know their freaking chants in the crowd. But enough is enough. And we're just trying to help out your conference, okay? You guys just figured it out for your football conference. You just figured it out. So we're just trying to help you on the to nationally brand your conference. That's it. That's all. Two more games that I want to predict. Oh, by the way, so is Texas Tech going to win the game then? Or is Kansas?
Yes.
Did you pick Texas Tech? Okay. The Red Raiders?
Yes,
this
sir.
Has something to do with liking them as a football program or just hate for Kansas? Actually, don't answer that. I know the answer. I think it's more hate for Kansas.
true.
So, number 10, Michigan State doesn't have to travel far down to Ann Arbor against number 7, Michigan, who beat my Gophers. If we could hit it from the outside, we probably would have won the game, but we didn't hit buckets from the outside, hence losing the game. What do you think about this one here? Michigan State and Michigan. So I'm gonna 1-2 punch you. So we got that one. Then on Big Monday, since we're talking Big 12, K-State, Kansas State, who beat KU at home, they have to travel to KU. So Kansas has back-to-back. Oh, dude, we've seen this freaking story before.
Oh, Jesus.
So they play Texas Tech and Kansas State. If they win those two games, oh, my God. Anyway, that's going to be the other one I want a prediction out of you. Kansas State at KU, and they're not going to win. Kansas State's not going to win that game after beating them at home. There's no way in hell. But anyway, Michigan State now has another injury, Marshall. I know they played decently the other day, but they got another injury. Pretty solid player, and they're just not the team that they were at the beginning of the year. I'm starting to think, and it's that Nick Ward. You know, that Nick Ward, he messed up. It's both hand injuries now with both these guys, too. It's hairline fractures, if I'm not mistaken, by both. But he's out indefinitely. They don't know if he's out for the whole season. But Nick Ward, these last 2 years, has been pretty solid. And he's been a very, very key piece. Is that enough to just think Michigan's going to win at home?
I mean, Michigan, what, they got 3 losses on the year. They've lost at Penn State by 6. They lost at Iowa by 15. They lost at Wisconsin by 10. I mean, so they haven't made any mistakes at home. I mean, Jesus. I'm going to lean Michigan just because I think they've been a really sound defensive team this year. I mean, losing at Wisconsin, I watched that game. I mean, Wisconsin was on that day. Michigan was off. I mean, losing Iowa. I mean, you lost at 2 tough places to play. I guess you could say the Penn State loss is a bad loss. Okay, you know, they had a hiccup. Okay, that 24-3 with 2 decent losses and 1 kind of bad one. It's like, well, shit. Okay, so you played 27 games, had 1 bad game. I mean, that's hard to argue with. Like I said last show, they've become a much better defensive base team. Again, defense has always been their strong suit with B-lines 1-3-1, but I feel like they're a step up in the right direction this year. And you compare Michigan State, who's, I mean, I think flying under the radar a little bit this year, not much, but a little bit, but I mean, their losses, well, that's all you see. I mean, they had one tough patch where they lost at Purdue, which was the game where Purdue was lights out. They followed that up with losing to Indiana. And then lose at Illinois. And Illinois has been a scrappy team this year who's been knocking off a bunch of good teams this year but has a really shitty record. So, I mean, both teams have had 3 losses in conference, and Michigan State just happened to lose earlier in the year on their first game of the year to Kansas, you know, and they lost
right
to Louisville. So, I mean, neither of these teams really have they both have one bad loss on the year. I mean, so, I mean, it's about as even as you can get. The win-loss record's about the damn same. Your conference record is literally the same. You're both tied for first. You have two phenomenal. I mean, you have two phenomenal coaches. I don't see the main difference here. I guess the advantage, Chris, which I would lean to, would be I would like Michigan because, in my opinion, your defense has improved this year. The injury bug is not affecting you as much as it's hurting Sparty right now, and you're at home, and you've not lost at home this year. So, I mean, I'd say this is about as even a game as you can get. Obviously, it's a rivalry. I mean, so maybe the home court doesn't matter. But, I mean, for flipping a coin, and I haven't seen Michigan State play a ton this year. I don't watch them play as much as I watch
sure.
ACC. But, I mean, you know, I don't – from an X's and O's standpoint, I don't know if there is, like, a complete lock, other than maybe, you know, the injuries, if you started to pile up a little bit. But, shit, this should be a fun game to watch. I'll lean Michigan. I said, if you've not lost at home yet, why would I ever go against you in college basketball or home court advantage such a big deal? I'll take Ann Arbor. But this should be definitely a very fun one to watch. And at least for a little while, some team will be above the Big Ten this year for a game or two.
Tonight, it looks like I didn't get to see the game, but he hit back-to-back threes, and that's basically what summed up the game. That Teske is actually a very underrated player. And they shot 13 of 28, which I think it says matches their season best from three, 13 of 28. We know they can shoot from outside, usually got a bunch of shooters. Here's the deal, though. Without Ward, without Nick Ward down low, a center, a real deal center, it's going to be different because that is the weakness that they have. Jordan Murphy tonight, who's a stud player, he had 18 and 15. A true freshman, Arturo, had 18 and 12. That's your power forward and your center. So production in the paint were huge. I think the last 9 out of 10 threes they missed. And then, like I said, Teske hit two threes, and that was the game. So to me, the combination of not having a real deal it's not that they won't have any bigs at all. They do. But to not have Ward that's where you can exploit him. And then the combination of that and being at home, I got to go with Michigan. However, we don't use it as much in college basketball like we do in college football. But this is Marshall's favorite index. According to ESPN's Basketball Power Index, 50.2% for Michigan and 49.8%. You're on to something here, Marshall. You're on to something. Or you're on something. I don't know which one it is. That's the second common reference. That's the second common reference, I got to say, because you said, even though you were real, you said 13 to 14. So that's the second common man thing, although yours was legit because it has been about that long. Kansas State, KU, there's no way Kansas State's going to come in to that home court advantage and get this one done, are they? There's no way. It couldn't happen, could it?
I don't know the last time K-State swept Kansas. I mean, it'd be nice, but I mean, I feel like I would have heard about it. Normally Kansas State puts up a good fight at home, but it's just not in the DNA. Kansas lost there.
Yeah.
So that means Kansas will get paid back at home. But hopefully Texas Tech beats Kansas, pisses them off, and then lets Kansas beat K-State. But we cannot afford to have Kansas win at Texas Tech and then win at home against K-State because then they're probably
a
top first by themselves. Yeah.
You might as well just hand them the championship at that point.
Yep. And they normally play – they normally play Iowa State at the last game of the year, kind of like Carolina Duke. They've already played them. I mean, your options are starting to run out the door. So, Texas Tech, please take care of business. Please. We're asking you. Do us a favor. We don't need another freaking year of Kansas winning another Big 12 title. So, we'll see. I'm nervous.
Well, if Kingsbury was still there, they could find some offense. If Kingsbury was still there, they'd be able to find some freaking offense at Texas Tech. Anyway, I'm with you.
True.
It's not going to happen. We're going to make our way through a handful of these conferences real quick, and then we're going to shut down the show not long after. Houston and Cincinnati, which was a decent game a couple of Sundays ago. Well, that's the difference in the AAC right now. 12-1 Houston, number 9 in the country, 25-1 overall. 11-2, just a game back, and that is the game separated right there, that Houston-Cincinnati. I think it was 2 weekends ago, maybe 3. So we got to keep an eye on that just from a, you know, from afar. A three-way tie, like you said, in the ACC, 11-2, 11-2, and 11-2. Virginia, Duke, and North Carolina. And, you know, Duke obviously has the tiebreaker when it comes to Virginia. But you have a lot of lingering teams, too, from 9-4 to 9-5, Florida State, Syracuse, who's very underrated, Virginia Tech in Louisville. So still a whole lot at stake. And we've been talking about the whole freaking show, Big 12 Conference. K-State right now, 10-3, 20-6 overall. They've really overachieved this year. Here we are, 9-4 apiece, Texas Tech and KU. Come on, Red Raiders. And then Iowa State and Baylor sitting out there at 8-5 and still actually have a legitimate shot. That next Wednesday, by the way, will be that Marquette-Villanova game. That will decide. And what's crazy, now that Nova lost again, they're actually behind Marquette. Marquette, for the first time this season, early, but, you know, for a while now, at least the last 6 weeks, they're 11-2, a half game back, 11-3. Is Nova. So, you know, two-team race at the Big East, but it's been fun to watch them go back and forth, and we figured it'd come down to that, and it'll come down to Wednesday like we thought. Michigan, Michigan State, both at 13-3. And then you have Purdue and Maryland. Purdue, after that crazy weird start, 12-3, a half game back. That is phenomenal. They lost, what, 3 or 4 players out of their starting lineup last year? A very solid club.
Yep.
Beyond solid. They're a very good club. Just because they didn't go to the Final Four, they were still a damn good club. Maryland's at 11-5, inching above Wisconsin, who's 10-5, and Iowa Lincoln right there, 9-6. Still a lot of movement there. For sure, that could still happen. Our quick look at the Pac-12, Washington still leads. All right, they've only lost one game in conference, 12-1. Go Washington, because my Gophers, to sneak in, are going to need you to be damn good. We talked about Tennessee, they're 12-1. Kentucky and LSU is 11-2. A whole lot to still happen when it comes to the SEC, no doubt about it. We've been talking about how that's going to be a fun conference to watch come conference tourney time. So, what else do you want to talk about here, buddy, before we get out of here?
Well, I'm back. My schedule's good this week, and that means we have the crappy game of the week. And we got a very interesting situation, one may say, because I feel the way you would lose this record.
By the way, I'm 1-1. I'm 1-1 on the year so far.
Well, the way you would lean off records is different than what the BPI says. So, let me set this up for you, brother. We got a game going on. I believe it is on Sunday. It's the 24th.
It's a Sunday game,
It's on ESPN Plus. So if you pay your $4 a month, you can stream it on ESPN Plus. And it's at 2:30 Central Time. We have the Manhattan Jaspers. I'm pretty sure that's Manhattan.
What conference are we in? What conference
we
are we in?
The Chris, I have the game.
So many damn teams. I can't find this shit. I need to know what conference we're in. The MEAC. No more MEAC. You just dumped the MEAC, just like that. Just dump
We're
in the MAC attack,
The MAAC. I hope that doesn't offend any racial.
Okay, that is not that's not the MAC. That is not the MAC. That's a knockoff.
The
MAC is the MAC.
The MAC.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So we're in the MAAC.
NAAC.
Just a bunch of garbage teams in that conference. Holy crap. Does anybody have a winning record? Yeah, one team does.
Now,
the other one's 500. Oh, wow. Okay. Hit me up, buddy. Sorry.
This game is at Fairfield, Connecticut, a seating capacity of 2479, so it's a little more than my high school. Got 2,479 capacity. Now, here's where shit gets interesting. Now, the ESPN BPI index says that Fairfield has a 74.5% chance of winning, which to a certain man, okay. ESPN saying, dude, if you're going to bet the house, a man's got to bet Fairfield. Why I find that interesting for the preview, Chris, is the fact that Fairfield's lost their last four games in a row. And their conference record is 4-11. Meanwhile, the Manhattan Jaspers traveling in their green jerseys have won four of their last five. So, you have an interesting scenario, Chris. Do you take the Cole team that ESPN BPI loves at home, or do you take the Jaspers? I'm not quite sure what a Jasper is. From Manhattan, New York, you know, where people are intelligent, I believe. You know, how do you feel on this one, bro? And this game is played at Alumni Hall. We had the physical education complex, now we have Alumni Hall. These basketball names are not quite as interesting as football stadiums. I remember when we had the one game in like New Orleans, it was like on top of the hill. It was like Rocky Mountain Hill Stadium or some crazy crap. Whatever.
Well, I guess when you have 300 teams, the corporate sponsors aren't spread out as much, I guess. The cheesy ass. And they already lost to these bastards, too. Fairfield already lost to this team. And somehow, some way, the damn, according to ESPN's bullshit basketball power index, I'll call it that, 74 point tees. It must be just nuts in that building. Well, there's no, you can't buy a ticket there. You can't buy a ticket. You literally can't buy a ticket. You're going to have to go in the front of the freaking building and just sit there and get some scalpers to do it. Wow. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Well, now some of these games have been tight, Marshall. They may have lost four in a row. Some of these games have been tight. I mean, the last two, 78-73, Niagara's a good club. It's on the road, too.
They are.
I mean, Niagara on the road, it's just, you get distracted from the falls. Okay, that was stupid. I know Siena. I do know Siena because the Gophers in the early 90s had to play them in the second round because they pulled an upset, and my Gophers beat them. And then the next round, they beat Derek Coleman and the Syracuse Orangemen. They then got their ass kicked by Duke, but that's a whole different two decades ago. Let's get in. You know what? Something's got to give, Marshall. Four in a row?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Fairfield's got this. They only have seven wins. They're going to end with eight. That might be their last win of the season, but by golly, they're going to get the job done. I got the Fairfield Stags. That's right. I said it. Stags. What the hell is a stag? What's a stag? I know going to a dance stag, right? But what is a stag? I got to look this up.
Is it a horse?
It's a male deer.
Oh.
The male.
Okay.
I got to go with the male deer. Yeah. How can you pass on the male deer? Yeah, I'm going the Fairfield male deers to just, you know, terrorize the club coming in from Manhattan. That's what I got.
And just so you know, I had to Google what is a Jasper. The basic Google definition is a hard-find red rock porcelain, or if you're referring to a person, someone who is naive or simple. So we have
He's
deer.
Such a Jasper. He's such a Jasper.
We have deer. We have people who are naive or simple. Or a red porcelain hard rock.
And it's a male deer, too. It's a male
yeah.
deer. Let's get detailed here. It's not just a deer. It's a male. I'm going with the male deers this weekend. I don't think I'll ever repeat that in my life.
For you on red porcelain rocks against male deers. I mean, you want to talk about a matchup you don't get anywhere else. That's why you'll have to call
the
Tulsa podcast.
Yeah. Not even there they don't talk about it.
I guarantee out of all the college basketball podcasts in the country, unless there is a Stag podcast, I don't think you get this shit. They probably don't talk about their own team. All right, well,
yeah, they probably don't even know it.
That sums up a hell of a good show. Now we're getting to the point where the tournament is within reach. We will have a bracket in less than a month, which is when the fun really, really starts to kick in. Now, as Chris mentioned, we're hoping the Big 12 tournament's still up for grabs, or I should say the Big 12 conference race. The ACC is neck and neck. The Big Ten is playing for first place this weekend. The SEC is up in the air. How good is LSU? Is Tennessee legit? Is Kentucky about to go on a deep run? We still have a lot of good basketball left, and hopefully someone from
the
Pac-12.
Are the Gophers going
to
win out? You know, a lot of people have been talking about that. Are the Gophers going to win out?
And can someone from the Pac-12 get ranked? Yeah, I turned on a game tonight. It was USC Oregon. I'm like, hey, maybe one of these teams is ranked. No. So, Stag Red Rock recap. Hopefully a Pac-12 team that's ranked. I hope my Tar Heels take care of FSU, which is always tough. And if Chris's boys start running the table, because there's been some drama with Chris's boys' football program, which is a whole different show. So they need some good positivity at the U of M and get rid of that negativity. So we'll be back again soon. Thanks as always for listening. As Chris said, there's tons of ways to listen to the podcast, but however you do, we love it. We love doing the show. Like I said, we're getting close to filling out brackets, which is when the show gets really fun. And until then, I hope you have a great, safe week. Try to stay out of the cold weather. The boys will be back to you soon. Peace.